Well, in three short words, Jesus addresses self-righteousness and a critical spirit. And those three words are do not judge. And we've abbreviated it down to two short words, don't judge. Now, the fact of the matter is we all form opinions and we make judgments on all sorts of issues and topics. Largely, those are based on what we read, what we hear, how we filter those through the framework of what we've been taught and what we believe. We all have opinions and we all have judgments and we all have views on the things that are happening in the lives of other people and around us in our world. Some of us are more opinionated than others, and you probably know someone like that, and I'm sure it's not you. Our human tendency is to think, I mean, let's just be honest about this. Our human tendency is to think, I'm right and you're wrong. If there's a difference of opinion that we share with someone, our tendency is to think, I'm right, you're wrong, you need to change. Once we get you fixed, everything will be good. And in some ways, it's a perfectly normal and natural thing to form ideas that are based on our upbringing, you know, what we've been taught. You know, it's good to know what we believe and why we believe it. Those are good things and normal things. We should have a measure of judgment in the sense of being able to make good decisions and to be discerning. However, it is unhealthy and it is dangerous to condemn others in our judgment of them because they don't hold the same view and beliefs that we have. One of the sharpest criticisms of the church down through the past couple of decades is that we are judgmental. A lot of that is unfair criticism. And we tend to be a little bit defensive about that, don't we? We say things like, well, we're just upholding a good moral standard. We're standing up for what's right. We're confronting sin in our society. And there's an element of truth in that. But I think sometimes we have a hard time distinguishing between upholding a standard or a belief that is important and true and looking down on someone else who does not hold that belief and embrace that practice. There's a difference between standing up for what is right and good and condemning those who don't believe. We betray our own pride, our own feelings of superiority, when we are quick to point out the flaws and the moral failures in other people. And I think we have a tendency as Christians to hide behind the mask of our religion, and we cover up our own failures sometimes by pointing the finger at the failures of others. I mean, it makes me feel better when I can see somebody that's more messed up than me. It makes me feel better if I can see the faults in someone else, because then it seems like my faults aren't quite so bad. Sometimes our taking a moral stand becomes an excuse for condemning someone else. And let's be honest about this. Most often it's the case that we feel better about ourselves by pointing out the bad in other people. We feel better about ourselves by pointing out the bad in other people. And I want to tell you that hopefully we'll see in this scripture today that there is a difference between taking a moral stand for what is right and true and condemning others. I believe we can and should take a stand for what is right and good, but we should not condemn others. And I think the biggest challenge we have in the churches today in our country and probably around the world is how do we not let those things kind of melt together where we are discerning without being condemning. And I think sometimes our culture's criticism of the church on the issue of being judgmental is a correct criticism. I think there's a big difference between being judgmental and being discerning. When we stand in judgment of others, where we are condemning them for their lifestyle or their choices or their actions, we're actually in direct violation to the teaching of Jesus. And that's the teaching we're looking at today. It's found in Matthew chapter 7, still part of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7. And if you have your Bibles, turn there. Turn in your Bible app. And you can follow along here as I read in just a moment. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. And the subtitle of this section of the Sermon on the Mount is just simply judging others. So here's what Jesus says. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Now, when I preached this sermon series 15 years ago, I stopped at verse 5. I did not go to verse 6 about do not give dogs what is sacred, because I couldn't reconcile in my mind. I'm trying to think, where's Jesus going with this? He's talking about not judging, and then he's speaking about dogs and pigs, which were derogatory terms in that day and age. Well, we're going to save that for the end. So that'll maybe keep you attentive to find out what in the world is Jesus talking about with the dogs and the pigs. Well, Jesus starts off this passage of Scripture that we read. He starts off this portion of his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount with a very strong imperative statement. It's a command. He says, do not judge. And the word in the Greek language means to pass judgment on someone or to condemn someone. It doesn't have the meaning of discerning or judging in the sense where we determine what is right and wrong. It's very distinctly means to pass judgment or to condemn someone else. Think about harsh and unfair criticism. That's the type of thing that Jesus is talking about. So we need to realize there is this sense of this judgment and condemnation. The word is also used sometimes to talk about being critical or criticizing. So we need to realize that sometimes, maybe oftentimes, maybe all the time, when we criticize someone else, we are judging them. When we criticize someone else, we are judging them. Now, when Jesus says, don't judge, he's not talking about that we should just be indulgent and tolerant of everything. He's not talking about having an anything goes attitude. We should be discerning and wise about things, and we'll get to that at the end of the story. So Jesus is not implying in any way when he says don't judge that we just be indulgent and tolerant and accept anything and everything. What Jesus is talking about here is the danger of condemning someone else and pronouncing judgment on them. He's also talking about the idea in this thing of judging others, about prejudging someone. And a lot of times we make judgment on someone that we don't even know them and we don't even know their circumstances. We prejudge someone. Our word in English for that is prejudice. Prejudice is prejudging someone even though we don't know really anything about them. And what Jesus is getting at in this passage is that we as his people, we who belong to his kingdoms, we who are his followers, we are not to have a spirit of judgmentalism. That means we don't label people, we don't jump to conclusions, we don't write someone off as hopeless, we don't assume things about other people. And I thought, how many times have I jumped to conclusions about somebody or something somebody has done, or I assume things about others? That's a form of judging them or condemning them. We are not to be self-righteous and condemning of others. So Jesus reminds us of that with these strong words, don't judge. Don't judge. Now, as we walk through this and take into account a couple other scriptures, there's four reasons why we are not to judge. And the first, the simplest way I can put it, is that we get back what we give. Jesus says in that second verse, "For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, what you dish out, you're going to get back to you." Everything comes back around. Now, I'm not talking about karma, where the things in your past life supposedly, you know, play out in this present life. That's a teaching of Hinduism. This is about reaping what you sow. It's kind of like a law of returns. A number of years ago, I still have it somewhere on one of my bookshelves, a devotional book by Chuck Swindoll that had a little devotional and story for each day. And he had one devotional that was entitled The Law of Echoes. And he told a story about a young boy who lived with his grandfather on a mountain in the Swiss Alps. And often, just to hear his own voice, he would go outside, he would cup his hands around his mouth, and he would shout out, "Hello!" And up from the canyons across the valley, the reply would reverberate. The echo would come back. "Hello, hello, hello, hello." And so sometimes he would call out, "I love you." And then he would hear those words in return. "I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you." Well, one day, as the story goes, the boy's grandfather seriously reprimanded him because he had misbehaved. He disciplined him. And the boy ran outside and he was angry and he shook his fist and he shouted as loud as he could, "I hate you!" And to his surprise, the rocks and the boulders across the mountainside responded in kind. "I hate you! I hate you! I hate you! I hate you!" And what Jesus is talking about here is that often we get in return exactly what we give. It all comes back. We reap what we sow. People are often amazed that the very persons that they criticize or judge end up judging them. I don't know if you've ever had that experience where you've been critical of someone and then you find out that they're critical of you and that just doesn't fit. Well, this person's made the mistakes. They've got all the problems. When we judge and condemn others, I think the other part of this that Jesus is talking about is that we will be judged. God judges his people. I'm not talking about judgment in terms of heaven and hell. I'm talking about discipline. God disciplines those that he loves, and you have that throughout Scripture. So when we judge others, well, we're going to get that judgment back from them. If we are a judgmental person, we're probably going to get criticism and judgment reflected back to us. But what Jesus is also saying here is that if we judge others, if we are condemning of others, if we are judgmental and have a critical spirit toward others, we will experience God's discipline in our lives. J.B. Phillips was a Christian writer, theologian. He wrote a paraphrase of the New Testament. And in his paraphrase, there's a passage that is similar to this one in Matthew in Luke chapter 6. And this is how J.B. Phillips paraphrased it. "Treat men exactly as you like them to treat you." That's a paraphrase of the Golden Rule. "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Phillips says, "Treat men exactly as you like them to treat you. Don't judge other people, and you yourself won't be judged. Don't condemn, and you won't be condemned. Make allowances for others, and people will make allowances for you. Give, and men will give to you. For whatever measure you use with other people, they will use in their dealings with you." So Jesus is saying, if we judge others, you know that's going to come back toward us. If you are a critical and judgmental person who are condemning of others, don't be surprised if other people respond that same way to you. But I think more challenging, if we call ourselves Christians and followers of Jesus, and we're judgmental and condemning and demeaning of others, if we have a critical spirit toward others, God will, in whatever ways he chooses, discipline us or judge us for those actions. And the second thing I want to talk about, and it's not necessarily implied in this passage, but we see it later in Jesus' teaching in John chapter 7, is we never know the whole facts or the whole person. We're really quick to see something and to see how a person acts or behaves or the things that we do. We look at our culture today and we see people, for instance, struggling with addiction or struggling with sexual identity, and we can look at all of these things, and we don't really know the circumstances or the facts. We don't know what's happening in that person's life. We're really quick to judge. We're really quick to form opinions. We're really quick to be critical. But most of the time, we don't know the whole facts or the whole person. In John chapter 7, verse 24, this is what Jesus said. Stop judging by mere appearances. And I want to suggest, speaking from my own experience, we don't very often get past the surface impressions of what we see in other people. Our interactions with people maybe are at kind of a surface level, and we really don't know what's going on in their hearts and in their minds. We don't know their struggles. We don't know their pain. We don't know what they may be going through. And it's easy to jump to conclusions and rush to judgment when we don't know the whole story. We talk about walking a mile in someone else's shoes. That means to really understand them, we've got to know what they're going through. And I think it's an absolute truth that we should walk a mile in another person's shoes before we criticize them, before we are judgmental, before we are condemning. Ancient Jewish writer and leader in the first century BC, this is before time, it was a man by the name of Hillel. And this is a quote from him. So this goes back, 2,000 some years ago. Do not judge a man until you yourself have come into his circumstances and situation. Let me read that again. Do not judge a man until you yourself have come into his circumstance and situation. What if we applied that? And the only way to really know what a person's circumstance and situation is to get to know them. Maybe we see the addict on the street who's struggling, or the homeless person, and it's, I'm that way, it's easy, why don't you get a job? Why don't you get off the street? But I don't know. I don't know what's going on in their mind. I don't know what's in their heart. I don't know what their life experiences have been. And so when we're tempted to be condemning or judgmental or critical of someone else, we need to remind ourselves that we never know the whole facts or the whole person. The third thing is that I think we have a hard time being impartial in our judgment. Deuteronomy 1 verse 17 reminds us that judgment belongs to God. But the truth of the matter is we all bring a certain bias into every situation, whether that comes from our upbringing, our cultural experiences, our life experiences, our personal convictions. And when Jesus gives this great picture of, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own, he's getting to that point. Sometimes we just can't see what's in our own lives. We have a hard time being impartial. We don't see the log in our own eye. And yet we're very cognizant and aware of the small flaws and failures in the lives of other people. And I think we need to be reminded that, as fallen human beings, we are flawed ourselves, and we have to answer to God for our actions. In Romans chapter 14, verse 10 through 13, it says this, "You then, why do you judge your brother? Why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another." We're all going to stand before God in judgment. We all have to give an account for our own lives. And the Apostle Paul's takeaway from that is, considering that we've all got to stand before God and we've got to answer before Him. Let's stop passing judgment on others. Let's stop being condemning. Now, we'll see in a moment, I'm not talking about being discerning and there's a sense, well, aren't we supposed to judge between right and wrong? And we'll get to that in just a moment. But I'm talking about having a judgmental, condemning attitude towards someone else. Leave it to God to judge is basically what the Apostle Paul was saying in that passage and in others. We're all going to stand before God's judgment seat. We're all going to give an account to Him of our lives. So let's stop passing judgment on one another. It's not hard for me to do, but sometimes I have to do it. I have to remind myself that I am not God. And I have enough shortcomings and flaws to realize that pretty much every day. But sometimes we can get a little bit of a God complex, can't we? You know, we think highly of ourselves and all the good things that we do. Leave it to God to judge. It's not our place to judge, to condemn, to punish others. I am not God. And this won't come as a surprise to most of you, but you are not God either. We have a hard time being impartial in our judgment. Sometimes we can't see the log in our own eye because we're focusing on the speck in someone else's eye. That brings us to these last few verses in verses 3 through 5 that we're quite familiar with. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye? In other words, let me, you know, help you with this issue that you're going through, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye. You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. That doesn't mean... This passage doesn't say, well, we should just ignore the struggles and the issues that are in other people's lives that we know. You know, oh, that's their, because sometimes we take the opposite approach. Well, that's their problem. That's their issue. It's none of my business. I shouldn't be involved. That's not what Jesus is saying here. What He's saying here is you deal with your own heart and your own self and your own issues, and then you'll be in a place where you can help someone else. But if all you're concerned about is pointing out the speck in someone else's eye, if all you're concerned about is bringing judgment on someone and say, here, I'm in a good place, let me help you out. We bring a certain bias into every situation. From our upbringing, from our culture, from our life experience, from our own personal convictions. We're not good enough to judge any other person. Do you ever remember the Mr. Magoo cartoon? And then I think there was an actual, you know, real person movie that I think Leslie Nielsen played Mr. Magoo. Mr. Magoo had the big fat glasses that were like an inch thick, and he couldn't see anything. I don't remember any of the episodes, but I mean, it's the kind of thing where, you know, he thinks the cat is, or he thinks a skunk is his cat because he can't see. That's probably not even in an episode, but sounds good anyway. But Mr. Magoo can't see because of his thick glasses. And it's almost sort of like that, this whole thing that Jesus is getting at with the speck and the plank, is that our vision sometimes is skewed, and we don't really see what's going on in someone else because of what is going on in our own life. You know, I have to wear glasses to read or to see something up close. I usually don't wear them. I usually squint, but that's beside the point. But let's say one day Jenny came in from working out in the garden and said, I think I got a speck of dust here in my eye. And if I said to her, well, here, let me help you, honey. Her first reaction is going to be, no thanks. You can't see that good. I'll look in the mirror and get it out myself. So Sometimes we just can't see to really help other people. And maybe what we do need to do is look in a mirror, a spiritual mirror, a reflection that God gives us of who we are. And we need to deal with our own issues and our own stuff and our own biases and our own opinions. We need to deal with those things before we can help someone else deal with what's in their life. The fact of the matter is, none of us are good enough to judge any other person. And I'm talking about judging in the sense of condemning, of being critical. I'm not talking about helping them see the difference between right and wrong. Judging in the sense of being condemning and critical, of being self-righteous. None of us are good enough to judge any other person. That's why Scripture over and over talks about leave judgment to God. And we tend to take things on ourselves that belong to God. No one has the right to criticize another person unless he's, and I don't remember who wrote this, it's not me. I didn't write down the source, but it was a quote, said, "No man has the right to criticize another man unless he is prepared at least to try to do the thing he criticized better." No one has the right to criticize another man unless you are prepared to at least try to do the thing that you're criticizing better. It's like the armchair quarterback, Monday morning quarterbacks. I mean, how many of, and this is a guy thing, I know. Maybe some of you women are the same way. You're watching a game, and while it's going on, you're getting upset. Why did the coach call that play? That quarterback, he should have done this. And we get all like frustrated. It's a man thing in our man caves. We get frustrated at what the other team is doing. I don't think one of us, except maybe Thomas, could stand out there on the football field and stand up to what happens out there if we're watching a football game. Because he's strong, and I found out he works out 2 hours a day. And I walk for 30 minutes a day, and that's it. So I've got a lot to live up to there. Most of us are not in a place, if you're looking at the whole sports thing, we're great at being armchair quarterback or a Monday morning quarterback after the fact, but really we're not good enough to judge any. I mean, I can't touch the rim of a basketball goal, and these guys can twist and turn and dunk the ball. They can't make a free throw. But they can. No, sorry. That's not fair because I can't make a free throw either. So, what if we just realize that in our brokenness, in our fallenness, in our need for God's grace, our need for a Savior? What if we just realize we're not good enough to condemn and judge another person? William Barclay, in his commentary on Matthew, said, "The world is full of people who claim the right to be extremely vocal in criticism and totally exempt from action." Let me read that to you again. "The world is full of people who claim the right to be extremely vocal in criticism and totally exempt from action." We can talk a lot, we can be critical, but often we do nothing about the situation that we are critical of. So I think we need to be honest with ourselves, not try to cover up our sins and our shortcomings, not try to make ourselves look better. We need to be true, genuine, authentic, honest people. We need to deal with our own stuff. We need to take a look in the mirror, take a look at our own self. We all have issues that we need to work through. We all have our own spiritual growth that we need to tend to and cultivate. And the bottom line is, we can't help others until we've gotten help ourselves. And so that's why Jesus says, hey, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you're in a place where you can help someone else because you can see more clearly. You can't really help another person while you're blinded by your own shortcomings and your own faults. So the next time that you are prone to criticize, to be judgmental, to look down on someone else, stop and take a hard look at yourself. As you let God develop you through His Spirit into the person that you should be, then more and more, I think, you will naturally be able to walk along sight of others and help them in their journey. Take the plank out of your own eye. Tend to your own spiritual growth. Cultivate your relationship with God. And as you do that, you find yourself in a place that you can walk along with others. Closing, we come to verse 6, the one I skipped 15 years ago, because it just almost seems to totally contradict what Jesus just said. He says, don't judge anyone. But then he says, don't give dogs what is sacred, and don't throw your pearls to pigs. What about the swine and the pigs that Jesus talks about in verse 6? Isn't that judging? And I think the best I can tell from reading those who've given a lot more thought to it than I have is that there's a difference between casting judgment and pronouncing condemnation on people and being discerning. We should be discerning. When we say don't be judgmental, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't express God's truth, that we shouldn't be discerning in the things of this world. There are always going to be people who reject God and His truth and who won't accept or appreciate our attempts to convince them to believe. There was another passage where Jesus said, when you go into a town and you preach the gospel there, if those who reject you and refuse you, you shake the dust off your feet and you go on to the next place. Jesus wasn't being mean or critical. He was just being realistic that sometimes there are people who will not respond to God and to His truth. There are always going to be people who reject God and His truth and who will not be open to your attempts to convince them to believe. And I think for us, perhaps the biggest challenge is knowing when to speak and when not to speak. And maybe what Jesus is saying in this and you got to realize dogs were not pets in those days. They were half wild. And they ran in packs through the streets. They were a nuisance. Pigs were considered unclean in the Jewish culture. And maybe what Jesus is getting at here, don't waste your time judging and condemning others. Don't throw all of your resources, time, and energy into trying to change or fix those people whose minds and hearts are not open to God. We can be a loving witness, we can be compassionate and kind, and we should be those things. But we should be discerning as well. Instead of judging and condemning others and somehow thinking that that is going to change them, maybe we need to look in the mirror and let God show you the things, show us the things, show me the things that we need to have changed in our own lives. And then, in loving, kind, compassionate ways, we love and serve and help others. But we do that by first holding up a mirror to ourselves. We need to be discerning. We need to know when to speak and when not to speak. But most of all, we should not waste our time and our energy judging and condemning others. We need to live in such a way that we express the love and the compassion and the grace of God. Let's bow our heads and close in a few moments of prayer. Lord, these are hard words. We are so prone to be critical and judgmental. And sometimes we think that we're doing right, we think that we're standing up for what is right and true, but we're doing it in a way that is hateful and spiteful and condemning of others. Help us to hear and apply these words, do not judge. Help us to look into our own hearts and our own lives and let your Spirit change and transform us and help us deal with those things, those shortcomings and flaws or besetting sins. And as we let you deal with those things, may it turn us into compassionate people, loving people, not judgmental and critical people. Help us to be discerning, to realize those situations where people aren't going to respond, they don't respond, and there's hate in their hearts, perhaps toward us. But help us always to be looking those people whom your Spirit is moving in, and help us to realize that every broken and hurting person that we see around us, that we come in contact with, someone who needs your grace and your mercy, and they don't need our condemnation, and they don't need our judgmentalism, and they don't need our critical spirit. They need you and your grace. May we be people who are characterized by your goodness and your grace in all our relationships with others. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand together as we close.